Senate Republican president, one of our favorites, Len Fasano. Senator, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How you guys doing on a snowy March day?
Well, I'll tell you what, one snowstorm after another these days, Senator.
Well, I hope you guys have a dog sled out there for later on your way home or something.
Well, Senator Fasano's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. And, Senator, as you know, the House, by one vote, confirmed Andrew McDonald to become the next Chief Justice of the Connecticut State Supreme Court. Now it goes to the Senate. Could the Senate not even bring this up, and thus Senator McDonald would not be confirmed? What's the procedure here?
So that certainly would be the governor's call. If the governor wanted to withdraw the nomination of Senator McDonald, that would result in a no vote in the Senate. And then there's a procedural vote first. Because it came out of committee as a tie vote, that means it's an unfavorable report to the Senate. And they did this in the House as well, which means there'd be a procedural vote to say there was an unfavorable reporting from the committee. So you have to vote to override that. And then you, if that was approved, then you go forward and you do the actual vote on the nomination.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. I can't imagine the Senate's going to say yes to the justice with some of the things that have been done. I mean, I think of the doctor. I think of so many. And I just can't imagine it.
Well, the death penalty seems to be the big issue. What would you say, Senator?
But I think it's a big issue for several reasons. I think that's multi. First, the fact that this bill, when it came out, this law, when it came out, a number of people raised the issue of constitutionality. In other words, it was the way it came out, just for the listeners, is prospectively no more death penalty, but retroactively, those who've been committed to death would have that sentence carried out, particularly the Cheshire murderers. That's how it was sold. We argued very strenuously that it was going to be retroactive. We argued vehemently that this was unconstitutional. The governor didn't acknowledge those comments. Frankly, when Andrew McDonald was the lawyer for the governor at the time, they ignored those comments. Senator Pregg, in your neck of the woods, did not want to vote for this if she felt it was going to be retroactive. And some people, I'm not exactly sure who, but though it's from the governor's office, assured her it was not going to, the death row folks would still remain on death row. She said, if there was one second that I thought that the Cheshire murderers would not be executed, I will not vote for this bill. But she was assured by the administration, i.e. Governor Malloy, i.e. Senator McDonald's part of that administration, that it would not be retroactive. And we were all fairly confident it would. And then for Senator McDonald to then sit on the very Supreme Court that is sort of over reviewing the very law that, as attorney, he had the governor sign, then that's a little bit too close for me. But even if you ignore all that, what people are not focusing on that much is Justice McDonald wrote a concurring opinion. And in his concurring opinion, he argues that the death penalty is racially biased. And he goes through this whole long argument, if you would, philosophical, that it has been abundance of evidence and no one's looked at it. He doesn't identify the evidence. He actually, in my view, called the entire judicial system biased because it never corrected a flaw. And then he cites to a report called the Donahue Report, Dr. Donahue. And what is misleading about that is the trial court in Connecticut already determined that Dr. Donahue's report was an error, was statistically wrong. And there is no racial bias in the death penalty. That's just a fact that Connecticut courts found. And for Justice McDonald to go off on this tirade that we're all, the whole system failed to look at this racial bias, when he knew that a trial court, based upon evidence and testimony, found as a matter of fact, based upon this trial court, that it wasn't racially biased, but yet he felt the need in a concurring opinion to demonize the system that now he seeks to oversee. That, to me, is a huge problem. And I've confronted Justice McDonald on this. We met for 3 hours. Last Thursday. We met for 3 hours and spent a large time on this issue because his concurring opinion speaks to a justice who wants his personal belief, because in 2009, that's the argument he raised when he was a senator. He wants his personal belief and his personal politics to be heard. So when you do a concurring opinion, and you're right, I would argue, very misleading and, frankly, factually wrong concurring opinion, you're not trying to, sometimes you do concurring opinions to say, I want to broaden the law by suggesting, look at this type of cause of action or that type. That's what you do. You don't take that opportunity to write an editorial piece on the death penalty, in particular when the editorial piece is wrong. That's, I mean, I have other examples, but when you talk about the death penalty, that to me is a huge, huge issue.
Well, Senator, it was even an issue, as you know, with the Chief Justice Chase Rogers in the State v. Santiago. She wrote the dissenting opinion to the majority ruling, and she essentially wrote the same thing, that you had justices who were substituting their beliefs, their feelings for what the intent of the law should be.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And if I know there's being a lawyer, so I'm a little eggheadish in that direction and focusing. But you're right. If you read Justice Rogers' opinion, she spells out very clearly that that is uncalled. I mean, you could hear her anger in her tone. That is uncalled for. That is not none of those facts were in front of any of the state's attorney's office or any of the parties. In fact, the state's attorney's office was so outraged they wanted to say, get rid of that portion of the concurring opinion. And the Supreme Court wouldn't do it. Then he argued, well, let me argue that part of the case. And they said, no, we're done with this issue. So Justice McDonald knew that this would be the last word on the death penalty. He knew that. So he wanted to get his imprimatur on the last voice you'll hear on a death penalty. And what I'm outraged about as a legislator, as a citizen, as a lawyer, what I'm outraged about is that the last word written regarding the death penalty by a justice who now seeks to be the Chief Justice is that the death penalty is racially biased.
That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
That's in the law now. And that bothers me to no end, especially since it's based upon the Dr. Donahue report, which was found conclusively to be an error. He left out certain statistical numbers. So it was found to be factually in error. And that to me is just outrageous. And then you want to be the Supreme Court Justice of the very system you just demonized?
Okay,
you
know, Senator, hang in there, Senator.
Hold on.
We have a traffic update, and then we're going to be back with Senate Republican President Len Fasano.
Senator, you know, as you listen to this, as you read about this, and as you go back to some of the things that happened, especially to the doctor, I just cannot imagine. I cannot imagine that those two that completely destroyed this family, completely. And I don't understand, and he's got to be one of the bravest people I've ever met, the doctor who is now with you folks over in the House. But I can't imagine that somebody that did this could head up the court system. Because that would not be the majority's feeling. I mean, it is when you think about this, it is absolutely unreal.
Dr. Pettit is a great guy, and I got to know him a little bit when he came to the Capitol after the deaths of his wife and daughters, and then I got to know him a lot more as a legislator, and we talked a lot, and particularly we talked about when the death penalty issue came up in 2009, and for good reason. You know, he doesn't have a lot of recollection of the day-to-day events because he was still in quite a bit of a fog, but he's a brave guy. He's a great guy. It just speaks to the fact that when someone writes an opinion that is against the facts to get their political point out, the argument has to be, where does that line get drawn? So that's the concern I think many of us have in the Senate. And, you know, when someone like Bob Duff, who is incapable of looking at the real facts of the case and incapable, I think, incapable in his mind to analyze the decisions and wants to come up with some ridiculous, absurd, unintelligent, baseless accusation by arguing sexual orientation is the issue. First of all, he takes the Senate in his world and lowers it to a level that is just unintelligent. It is just name calling, and that's. But I understand if you can't comprehend the facts, you have to go to a common denominator that you, in a world that you live with. And name calling apparently is a world that he lives with. What he should be arguing is, or suggesting, why those who want to vote against him are wrong are the facts of the case. I doubt very highly that he read many of the cases we're talking about. Justice McDonald dropped off every decision he wrote to me. Every decision. And I read every decision. So I'm well versed in all of his writings. As I said, I like Andrew personally, and I also think he's a very intelligent guy. So there's no question about his ability to comprehend material. The question is what direction do you want the Supreme Court to go?
Senator, can you hold through the break?
Just hold, please.
Can you? Terrific. Oh, that's great. Senator Fasano is going to be with us through the break, Brad. We're going to be talking about this. And for people who are wondering what Senator Duff said, we're going to replay that exchange between Senator Duff and Dennis House from Face the State when we come back.
We got that all set for you. So just stay with us. This is so important. So important. We'll be back.
One of the big issues was the unsubstantiated comments made by the number two Democrat in the state Senate, Bob Duff, the Democrat from Norwalk, Senate Majority Leader.
Unreal.
When he was interviewed on Face the State by Dennis House on Sunday regarding, and this is Duff, stating that he believed that some Republicans in the Senate were voting against or were against McDonald's nomination because they were anti-gay. Here's the exchange.
I think many of them don't like the fact that he's gay.
And you think they're anti-gay?
Yes.
Who?
I don't want to say for sure because nobody has come out and said that publicly that they said that they have a problem that he's gay.
So, Senator Fasano, when you hear that exchange, and this is a colleague of yours, he might be on the other side of the aisle, number two Democrat in the Senate, what goes through your mind?
Well, actually, disappointment. I just think that Bob Duff doesn't have the ability to intellectually understand the cases we're talking about. So he goes to a hot push button issue that he, who has been very partisan, he's the governor's lapdog. He's the governor's attack dog. He does all the governor's bidding. Everybody knows it. And this is just, he's told to go out there and ruffle as many feathers as he can. If he wants to be the servant of Governor Malloy, he's got to put his head on the pillow at night. This analysis is a very intellectually challenged analysis, which I think Bob Duff is not up to that task. And therefore, he resorts to name calling. And, you know, that's the type of stuff that makes give politicians bad names when you sit back and yell out these awful things, awful accusations, and then doesn't have the courage to name names, but sits back and makes this categorical criticism without any details. That's just cowardice. That's all it is. That's all it is. If he's got names, say them. If you don't, then don't say a word. I would prefer and respect him more if he said, listen, here are the issues that Senator Fasano has raised or some other members have raised or those who vote no have raised, and let's talk about them substantively. This is why I disagree. I could respect that more. He's just background noise. And I'd also challenge, does that mean the five Democrats in the House that voted against Andrew fall under the same category that he has now placed upon people who vote no? It's just absurd. It's ridiculous. And I spend, by talking to you right now on this issue, and I believe it has to be addressed, I've spent more energy and time than I'd like to on Bob Duff because he's of no moment to me.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I think this is a key hour, for the state of Connecticut. I really believe it in my heart, and I think that the senators will know what to do.
Can I just say this? It's really disgusting. There's these advertisements on TV, and they're paid for by two partners of two law firms that have made a ton of money from the state of Connecticut. So the advertisements, I want people to know that when you see those advertisements about hate and, you know, bigotry almost calling it out, although they didn't use those words, but the insinuation that we're voting against, if we vote against Andrew McDonald, we're voting against it because of his lifestyle, is put on by two folks who opened up a LLC, which then went and lobbied and registered capital to lobby, who have made millions of dollars off the state of Connecticut, the firms that they're associated with over the years. And it just seems to me that speaks to power, political connections, and doesn't talk to people and justice. And that's shameful. This is not a group of folks who are grassroots, blah, blah, blah. This is high-powered, politically connected lawyers who are pushing this issue. So you got to stop and say, why? That's the question. Why? If they think that they could bully my guys to vote other than on the merits of this case, they're wrong. My guys have much more integrity. They take the responsibility and the oath to the state of Connecticut, and they're not going to bully. They're going to do what's right. They're going to do what they believe is in the best interest of the state of Connecticut based upon soundness of reviewing the decisions, the merit of those decisions, and where you think the Supreme Court should go. That's all that's at stake here. That's it.
Senator,
if you believe there's limits to the Supreme Court, if you do, what are those limits? And do you believe that Justice McDonald, over the last 6 years, 5 years, exceeded those limits in his opinions? Those are the questions before us. That's it.
Okay. Senator, as always, thanks very much.
Great to have you with us always.
Closely, and we'll talk again down the road. Thank you, Senator.
God bless you.
Thank you.